Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Baseball Money is Fake on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Edge Boost. Edge Boost enables you to double your bet with no interest. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to get started today.
Welcome to Baseball Money is Fake, fantasy baseball podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. I am Blake Meyer, and we are at it again on a Thursday. Well, it's Thursday now if you're listening to this on your podcast stream. It'll be Friday, more than likely. Hope you're having an excellent Friday. I know the weather here in Washington State is great, and there's been a lot of great baseball played out here lately. I mean, even if you're not a fan of the Mariners, the Yankees played some great baseball in the games before that. But as always, I'm here with my man, Ryan Gilbert. How you doing today, man?
Yeah, doing well. It's hot here in Philly as well. I think it's supposed to be in the 90s on Friday. So, yeah, June 1st also. This is the first episode of June. This is when, you know, baseball starts to really pick up. I was like, okay, you know, the first stretch of the season is over. Look at where your team's at and see what you got to do the rest of the way, both for fantasy baseball and real teams. So, yeah, this should be, especially now with the Stanley Cup Finals, NBA Finals going on. So, a few more weeks. We'll have just baseball in two or three more weeks.
I can't wait to finally be the only sport that's like ruling the world.
There's always something else going on, Blake. Don't worry.
I know.
Baseball's never number one.
Football always finds a way to sneak itself into the narrative. It never ceases to amaze me how long football stays relevant, even when it's not being played. But I mean, I'm a Chiefs fan, so I should probably like football a little more than I do. Not that I hate football, but baseball is life, baby. Baseball pays some of my bills, so I got to have a special place in my heart for it. Speaking of special place in my heart, George Kirby yesterday pitched an absolute fucking gem. 8 innings, no walks, 7 Ks, no runs. Since he got called up last year, he's thrown 201 innings. He has a 6.84 K walk ratio. I almost fucked that up. Which is tops in all of baseball. And he has a 3.4% walk rate, which is tops in all of baseball. His big thing that he was touted for coming up as a prospect was his command. And we see a lot of guys that have good command in the minors and they get touted for it and they get called up. And I mean, the command is kind of there, but they can't miss bats. Like they have the good command because all they do is throw strikes. But when you get to the major league level, if all you do is throw strikes, you get hit around quite a bit. George Kirby has found a way to literally just paint the corners of the strike zone nonstop. And that was one fun ass game to watch yesterday.
Yeah, I saw something, I'm trying to find it now. Michael Ballman at Fangraphs wrote about it. George Kirby just decided to stop giving up walks. He decided to beat people in the zone. It's amazing that he can do it, and it's amazing what he's doing for the Mariners. I mean, that start against the Yankees definitely just showed how good he can be, and he's still so young that the Mariners have pretty good core there with him and J-Rod, not to mention everyone else.
Yeah, and I think the most impressive thing that George Kirby did yesterday was in, I think it was the first at bat against Aaron Judge. He threw him 2 off-speed pitches right out of the gate. Judge swung at neither of them. They both went for a ball. He hits him with a strike on the outside corner, and then he literally just threw him 2 fastballs just right down the dick. And dared him to hit him, and Judge swung and missed at both. Like, that takes some absolute balls. I mean, it takes some absolute balls to do that against any hitter, but to do that against Aaron Judge, who just killed your team for two straight days and has been killing all of Major League Baseball, mm-hmm. to be like, you know what? I dare you to hit this. And when you miss, I'm going to throw it again. And I dare you to hit it again. And he couldn't do it. And it's things like that are incredible.
Great bounce back spot for him after the bad start against the Pirates start before. So, yeah, good for Kirby to see that back.
Yeah. And to transition into what I really wanted to do this episode, I know last episode, me and you, I guess you posed to me the question, would I rather have Dalton Varsho or Francisco Alvarez for the rest of the year? Would I really have Matt McClain or Carlos Correa for the rest of the year? And it got me thinking as I was doing my rest of the season rankings over at Fantasy Pros. There's a few that caught my eye that I thought, you know what? I should ask you on the pod how you feel about the rankings or who you would rather have.
You want me to do your work for you, basically?
Pretty much, yes.
Okay, yeah. Just make sure I'm understanding that correctly.
I will throw out there that these are guys... none of them are crazy different in my rankings positional wise. Like, I'm not asking you my number 8 and number 9, who would you rather have? I'm not doing that. Like, but they're like within 5-6 picks of each other, just to who would you rather have. My first one right out of the gate, it might be my favorite one. It's one of my favorites. Josh Jung or Alex Bregman, who would you rather have rest of the year at third base?
Ooh, Josh Jung has been absolutely killing the baseball. I know that because I have him in my keeper league, and I have Yoshida for rookie of the year. And I think Jung is going to get there. I think Jung. I mean, Bregman's hitting 245 with 7 home runs. Jung is hitting 295 with 12 home runs. It's a matter of if he can keep it up. I don't have his Baseball Savant page pulled up, but I imagine he's hitting the ball pretty well. I mean, he's better by far right now. So I would imagine even if both players regress to maybe what they should be, I could still see Jung being the better third baseman, as crazy that sounds. I mean, Bregman, I think, has been more just like becoming a guy that, you know, he's good all around, not great in one category. He never really was. Last year, 23 home runs, 93 RBIs, I guess, is pretty good. Hit 259. So, yeah, I think Josh Jung is a big up-and-comer and possibly already better than quite a few third basemen you may not think about.
I mean, I agree. I have to tweak my rankings a little, which happens every time you do your rankings, like, you set them and you're like, all right, these are my rankings and these are good. But then every time you look at them, like, even if I just go to reference them real quick, I'm always like, I gotta tweak this. Yeah. Right now I have Josh Jung at number 9. And Bregman at number 11 on my third base list.
Who's 10?
Bregman's Anthony Rizzo.
Third base?
Is my number 10. Yeah, he has third base eligibility. Anthony Rizzo
does not have third base eligibility. Anthony Rendon?
I sound like I know what I'm talking about, don't I? No, I got my fucking rankings right here. Number 10, I have Manny Machado. There we go.
Manny Machado.
I should have known that off the top.
You should have known that one. He's still hurt, right?
I think. Yeah. Yeah. He's coming back this weekend, I believe, this weekend or beginning of next week.
Yeah. All those San Diego guys have kind of taken a hit from their initial ranking. Soto has been picking it up more. Mm-hmm. Xander had a hot start, but yeah, maybe they'll get hit in here as we go into June.
All right. And then my next one. Actually, do we want to do the ad or do we want to roll into another one?
We can do the ad. Really, we're deciding which player here gives you the edge, and we're brought to you by Edge Boost. Edge Boost is the world's first bet now, pay later Visa card. Edge currently offers up to $2,500 in betting advances, which can be an extremely valuable tool. Imagine what you can do with an increased bankroll. Get down on some of your favorite futures without tying up your bankroll for months. Double down on a favorite bet you like, or even use it to create an awesome middle or hedge opportunity. Edge Boost isn't some sleazy loan shark, as they charge zero interest. Do you know of a way you can access more money to place on your favorite bets without paying any interest? Support SGPN and grow your bankroll by going to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to sign up. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge.
Okay, so moving on from that fiasco I just had, trying to remember fucking Manny Machado's name, which I don't understand why I couldn't remember that. Moving on to the next one I wanted to ask you. At first base, that's why I was thinking first base. Okay. Who would you rather have, our boy Vinny P or Anthony Rizzo?
Oh, that's probably Rizzo. Rizzo's hitting 304 with 11 home runs. Vinny P is just 267, 9 home runs, and you have the lineup, you have the ballpark. I think Rizzo is an easy, pretty easy slam dunk there. Not even that close.
And see, I'm slightly the other way. I've got Vinny P number 8. I got Rizzo 10. Rizzo will likely get moved up higher if the batting average continues to stay up. I know Rizzo tweaked his swing a little bit this year, which older guys don't normally do. So I think it'll be a little sustainable. And, of course, the no shift helps Rizzo as well. But yeah, Vinny P.
Yeah, I'm looking at his Baseball Savant page. It is pretty red. Rizzo's is fairly red as well. But, yeah, Vinny P., 91st percentile expected batting average, 84th percentile expected WOBA, expected slugging 76. So he's probably a little bit unlucky right now, but I still don't think I can take him over Rizzo.
Yeah, it's tough. It just comes down to what you value more, home runs or like just pure hitting ability, I guess. Because like we talked about Vinny P last year he walked the same amount of times that he struck out. This year, he's walking at like a 9% rate and striking out at a 10% rate. So he's still pretty close there. 16 doubles. So the 9 home runs is cool, but it's not earth shattering. But he's got 16 doubles to go with it. So he's, if you're in a total bases league, he's doing pretty well. But yeah, that lineup.
And that ball should start carrying more now in the summer too. So some of those doubles should turn into home runs.
Yeah, so I'm...
I didn't realize he had so many doubles. 16 doubles. Rizzo only has 8 doubles. I'm not sure how many homers he'd have outside of Yankee Stadium, but maybe that's closer than I thought.
Yeah, it's... Ones like that are where it starts to get tough when you're doing your rankings, because then you look at, like, I could convince myself either way, like, liking one over the other in that scenario. And between the two, I have... So I got Vinny P, 8. I got Anthony Rizzo 10. I got Christian Walker 9. So Christian Walker is a very Anthony Rizzo-esque kind of player. Doesn't have the batting average, but has more power, arguably.
Okay, so Vinny Pasquantino has 9 home runs. At Yankee Stadium, he would have 11. Oh, Rizzo has opposite, I believe. Rizzo has 11 home runs, correct? Rizzo has 11 home runs, yep. And at Kauffman Stadium, he would have 7. So both players, I mean... It is much closer than I initially thought. I still think Rizzo has a track record, but also the injury risk, because he's day-to-day right now. I think he's had a neck issue right now. He's had back issues before, but I still think Rizzo. But you know what? Maybe now is the time to sell high on Rizzo and buy low on Vinny if you can swing for that.
That is a very good point.
Get Vinny in like a pitcher or Vinny another batter for Rizzo, and like you, a slight downgrade there. But yeah, good point there.
That is a very good point. My next person that I throw at you will stay with the Anthony Rizzo train. It'll be Anthony Rizzo or Nathaniel Lowe. Who would you rather have?
Nathaniel Lowe only has 5 home runs, which I did not realize, especially in that Texas lineup where they're all hitting for power. Off the surface here, I still think I go with Rizzo. Not quite as easily as initially over Pasquantino. Let me look up Nathaniel Lowe's Baseball Savant page here real quick. But yeah, fairly red. Expected home runs by ballpark, he'd have 4 at Yankee Stadium. So it's not even like he's hitting the ball that hard. Yeah, I still think I'd probably have Rizzo just above Nathaniel Lowe.
See, I have Nathaniel Lowe at 7. For me, like 7 to like 11 on the first base rankings are all very similar style players for me. I have Lowe at 7, so I have him above Rizzo, just mainly because the run scoring, he scores a shit ton of runs in Texas because he seems to always be on base. He's got an on-base percentage. His on-base percentage is .355 this year. It's pretty damn good, hitting .277. Again, another doubles guy. He's got the 16 doubles. But he scored 40 runs already this year. So he helps you there.
Where does he bat? He bats third in that lineup. That's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. So plenty of at-bats to be had. And then the only real difference between this year and last year with him is he's struggling to hit breaking pitches. Last year, He hit breaking pitches pretty well. 293 average against, 268 expected batting average. But this year, just 208 with a 218 expected batting average. Killing off-speed and fastballs, though. Like, he's hitting off-speed pitches and fastballs better. So I'm assuming that the breaking pitches will come around because he is somebody that has hit breaking pitches very well in his career. So I highly doubt he just forgot how to hit a fucking curveball after he hit them so well last year. So I think it'll come around, and there's a lot of counting stats to be had in that lineup, even if he does just hit, say, 20 home runs. I think that's what, I think he hit 27 last year. So even if he just gets back to 20 this year, he's a 100 RBI, 100 run scored guy hitting in the high 200s. Yeah, the 7 through 11 are all fairly interchangeable. Like, you can't really, like, yeah, like if you put Rizzo at 7, like above those guys, I wouldn't be mad. I could put him there right now, and I would still be completely comfortable with my rankings.
Where do you have Rowdy Tellez in your first base rankings?
Rowdy is at 13.
Okay. You have Christian Walker a bit above that.
Christian Walker's at 9. Imagine. Christian Walker's number 9. Okay. I actually got asked, I didn't get asked this one in one of the groups that I'm in. Somebody asked this question: who would you rather have rest of the season, Rowdy Tellez or Ryan Mountcastle?
Probably Tellez, just because he has the bigger name. But as I look now at the numbers, Mountcastle also has 11 home runs, hitting 233. Probably Tellez, because Mountcastle has that big left field and at Oriole Park too, which I'm not a fan of for him.
Yeah, Mountcastle is one of those guys that always seems to underperform his like expected stats and all of that. Like, if you look at his Baseball Savant page, 93rd percentile in barrel rate. He's got a 16% barrel rate, had a 15% barrel rate last year. 92 mile per hour average exit velocity, expected batting average of 272, but he's only hitting 230, which sucks. He's a big fly ball hitter, which is part of it, because like you said, they got that left field fiasco at his home park, so it does kind of ding his batting average a little bit. His expecting average, batting average is always going to look good, but I have Mountcastle at 11. I got Rowdy at 13. Rowdy hasn't been, he hasn't been bad, but he hasn't been as consistent as I wanted to see out of Rowdy, who was on my must-have players list.
Yeah, but that's just what Rowdy is, though. That's what we discussed, like with him and Gallo and whatnot. Someone I want to ask you about in the kind of that same vein, but an outfielder who was recently dropped in my 12-team main league, Hunter Renfroe. We were high on him going into the season. He still has 10 home runs for the Angels, hitting 248, but has not hit well as of late. Over the past 14 days, he's 11 for 46 with no home runs, only hitting 239. I was looking at him earlier. He's still on waivers. He had a better second half last year than first half, so maybe this is just like his little rut here he's going through. But do you have any Renfroe, and would you be looking to pick him up if he was available?
I have Renfroe in one league. It's a 12-team points league. I'm not the happiest about it, but he is one of those guys that tends to be better than the rest of the waiver wire options that are out there, even if he has been struggling lately. In a 10-team league, I don't know if he's somebody that I would target, because you could probably find somebody better in a 10-team. But in a 12-team, he's likely better than your best waiver wire option, unless you're in some weird weight like league where some crazy person like drops Nolan Arenado in my points league. Still wish I picked him up. Yeah, he still has an 8% barrel rate. That is the worst of his career. Not a fan of that, but he has a 251 expected batting average. That's his highest since 2021 and his third highest ever. So there is still hope there. He is still hitting in a lineup that does score a lot of runs. Their pitching sucks, so they don't win a lot of games, but they score a lot of runs. So there is the ability to get you those counting stats that you need, and I think the power will come around. Again, he's one of the rare 30 home run level or caliber players, which you don't find very often. So yeah, I would pick him up if it was me, if it was a 12-team or late or deeper league. 10-team, yeah. I'd probably pass.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't realize how good he's just consistently hit for power throughout his career. I think he's probably overlooked as one of the not best power hitters of the past 5 years, but like 26, 26, 33, 31, 29, on pace for 30 this year. So yeah, I think I'm going to probably pick him up, especially because I'm kind of in a position where I do have a roster spot to play with. So I'll pick him up, see if he can pan out. If not, I'll drop him like these other guys I'm giving a shot.
Hell yeah.
All right, also, make sure you give it a shot. You get two shots to win with the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup Final Contest. We've got two more free contests exclusively on the SGPN app. There's series prop and games props. NBA Finals start tonight, Thursday night, so make sure you get in there. Stanley Cup Final starts on Saturday for Game 1. There's a $100 SGPN gift card up for grabs for each contest. You can get some sick Baseball Money's fake merch. So make sure you download the SGPN app and enter today.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, so this is the last one I have for you before we get into some injury news and weekend streaming options and some other good stuff. So from right now moving forward, who would you rather have, Spencer Steer or Rowdy Tellez?
I think I'd rather have Rowdy Tellez. I'm not buying into the Spencer Steer hype. I didn't buy into the Brent Rooker hype, and I was disappointed for a bit, but he's been dropped in my league again. I don't know. Spencer Steer, though, he has the Great American Ballpark. He's had a great power surge recently. I honestly don't know enough about him, so I'm going to look up his minors numbers and stuff. But who do you have higher?
Rowdy for now. I need to see another month of Spencer Steer just to be sure what I'm looking at. And I kind of want to see how they utilize him after Ellie gets called up. But, man, I tell you what, if somebody came to me and said, I just dropped Rowdy Tellez for Spencer Steer, I don't think I would be upset about it. In May, he hit .318 with 8 doubles, a triple, 6 home runs, and 19 RBIs in 27 games. He dropped his strikeout rate from 23% to 18%. His on-base percentage was .372 and an OPS of .945, which is 200 points higher than it was in April. It's like Dr. Jekyll and it's like Jekyll and Hyde. April he wasn't that great. May I recommended him 2 weeks ago in my Fantasy Pros weekly waiver wire article. That's a tongue twister. As somebody that needs to be on everybody's radar, and he just keeps tearing the absolute cover off the ball. So for now, I'm Team Rowdy, but a month from now, it might be Steer.
Yeah, I think I'm on the Steer train here now that I look more at his minor league numbers. Last year in 106 games between Double A, Triple A for what was he traded for? Was him Strand and someone else to the Twins? But I'll try to look that up. But 23 home runs last year in 106 games. That's pretty much one every four games. So over a full season, 35 to 40 home runs. Already has 8 and 52 this year, so that's on pace for 24 at least. Yeah, I like Steer. Steer seems like a more fun option too. Like Tellez, you might end up having on the bench for his power streak, but Steer, having first base and third base, should be able to get into your lineup more often. And he's hot right now, so I would definitely pick him up if he's available. And I probably would drop Tellez for him, honestly.
Yeah, there's always something to ride in the hot streaks, which we've talked about how you got to monitor the hot streaks. You want to ride the hot streaks when you can, especially if it's one that can be sustained for a little bit. It's hard to pick somebody up just because you know they're going to have a good four-game stretch. But, I mean, you can do that. You just have to be one of those guys that monitors your lineup very often. Like, you have to be able to notice when that hot streak is over and cut bait right then. Spencer Steer, 78% percentile on sprint speed. That's, man's got a little speed out there. And he doesn't chase very many pitches as well, which is cool to see. Love to see that. He upped his launch angle 4 degrees this year, which I think might be paying off in the heart of contact. Almost 90 miles an hour, average exit velo. So, yeah, Team Rowdy for now, but Steer is creeping up my list quite a bit. I think I have Steer at number 19 right now. So, six spots back of Rowdy.
Steer was traded along with, I think, Encarnacion Strand and someone else for, according to this article, Tommy Miley, who I think is related to Tyler, who might be his brother.
I mean, the Reds came out ahead in that deal. That's for damn sure. Yeah,
absolutely.
But injuries. Yes. There has been a few recently. Justin Steele was just pulled after 3 innings of no-hit ball with a forearm issue, which is like the worst thing you could hear for a pitcher. Anything that has to do with their pitching arm just fucking sucks. I've been a big Justin Steele guy all offseason. Ryan's been a big Justin Steele guy all offseason. Been riding the Steele train. And it looks like the wheels may have fallen off that train because, I mean, at the very least, he's probably out a month minimum. But this is one of those ones where you're waiting for the MRI because it could be a year. Like, he could be out till next year, just depending on how it goes. So if you have Justin Steele, monitor what those MRI results are. But I'm not holding out a ton of hope because they wouldn't have pulled him from the game if it wasn't something like really bad.
Yeah, apparently David Ross said the more he watched him throw, the more worried he got. But yeah, I mean, similar to the Jeffrey Springs thing a few months ago, we were like, you know, doesn't look good, but wait and see. For Springs, unfortunately, it was Tommy John, but I think there have been pitchers recently where it's like, okay, they went down, but they're back in you know, a few weeks. So hopefully that's the case for Justin Steele. But if not, you're going to have to find some starters on the waiver wire or maybe make some trades.
Yeah, it seems like so many of his pitchers that are actually doing well this year are just ending up hurt, which is a pain, especially for some of us that planned on this success. And so we drafted guys like Justin Steele when nobody was really talking about him early on in the offseason. And it turns out that he's the shit. And now he's hurt. And now you got to go into the cesspool of the waiver wire and try and find yourself some kind of replacement when, as everybody knows, pitching is bare this year. So trying to rely on waiver wire guys can get very tough. There's still a few decent ones out there that could be picked up. But if you lost Justin Steele, you likely lost the best pitcher on your fantasy team this year, at least like points wise. So that could be a tough one. So we just got to monitor what the MRI says, but take it. Just be prepared for the work.
Yeah, and we'll continue to offer you guys some streaming options coming up for the weekend and 2-start pitchers next week. So that should be able to help you in the short term. Some other more positive injury news. Jose Alvarado was cleared for a rehab assignment. I think I saw he's going to pitch at least twice down there before being activated. Craig Kimbrell has taken over as the Phillies' primary closer, got his 400th career save. But have to imagine Alvarado would be back in there. Maybe not right away, but once he's back to 100% and firing those bullets again. And then Giancarlo Stanton also coming back. I'm activating him.
Yes.
Activated today. So hopefully that's another big bat for the Yankees. Another big bat to drive in Anthony Rizzo.
Yeah, and they could use that with Harrison Bader getting hurt. They could use somebody else in the lineup that can inject a little excitement. Giancarlo Stanton, the king of power. Like, everybody talks about how hard and how far Judge hits the ball. Giancarlo Stanton leads he leads all the baseball in the StatCast era with hard hit baseballs, and leads it by like 50 over the second place person. So all he does is mash. So it's going to be fun to see him back. We'll have to see how it goes. I think he's somebody that's worth picking up now if he wasn't already rostered, because I know in a few of my leagues, he got dropped when he went on the IL. So
he's rostered in 92% of Yahoo League. So
really,
if he's available, pick him up. But yeah,
oh, yeah.
He's always someone that, you know, if he's healthy, he's capable of hitting a lot of home runs.
Somebody that should have been capable of hitting a lot of home runs, but hasn't, and is now injured, is Chris Bryant for the Colorado Rockies. I just went on the injured list with a bruised heel. Some of these injuries are a little odd, but I'm not quite sure how long he's going to be off for. A bruised heel is not something that's going to cost him weeks and weeks and weeks. Couldn't imagine. So more than likely just hold Chris Bryant for now if you have him rostered. But he has been teetering on my does he deserve to be rostered all the time list. Because, I mean, his home field's Coors Field. He's only got 5 total home runs this year. He's hitting .263, no stolen bases, and just 17 RBI. Average exit velocity, 86.8 miles an hour, not good. Expected batting average, .268, so he's going right up to his expected batting average. His K rate's only 17%, which is cool. So, like, in points leagues, he does hold a little more weight there, but in category leagues, if you were looking for a sign to drop Chris Bryant, maybe just use this injury as an excuse to, because he's not what everybody hoped he would be in Colorado.
Yeah, I mean, good for Chris Bryant though. Got his ring, got his bag. Now he's just enjoying the nice Denver air up there. I mean, yeah, he had an opportunity. I mean, if he was in Philly right now and getting injured as much as he was, I'm sure he'd been getting killed. Same thing with any other big market. So for his sake, in that kind of aspect, that's good for him. But yeah, it's unfortunate that he's hurt again. Hopefully he can return to something that he once was, but yeah, it doesn't look very promising. Someone else that was having a few promising weeks there and is now on the IL with a left fibula stress fracture is Riley Green, outfielder for the Detroit Tigers. 95th percentile max exit velo, 84th average exit. You know, Baseball Savant page, very red over the past 2 weeks, was batting .311 with a .982 OPS. Now he's going to be missing a few weeks. So, you know, this might be, he's still only 22. He's kind of like a post-type sleeper where in that Jared Kelnick put a quarter in the Jared Kelnick jar for me there. I had mentioned his name before you even. He was looking good. I was looking to pick him up. He's still available in my keeper league, so maybe I'll pick him up, stash him, and then I would advise you guys to do the same if that's a possibility.
Yeah, he had some hot and cold stretches to start the year, but then now lately he's just been hot. So he's young enough and good enough that he's worth the ad if he gets dropped. And if he's on your roster right now, just use an IL spot for him. Like he's not worth you dropping. You can ride it out and just wait till he comes back. And then other injury news just off the top of my head. I think I read O'Neill Cruz. They expect him to be coming out of his walking boot here soon. I think what it was.
So he's going into the walking boot or something.
I think he's coming out of the walking.
Is he coming out of it?
If I remember correctly.
I don't know. I
but I mean, it's positive O'Neill Cruz
transition news. Out of it. Yes. Yep. Next week. Yeah.
So there's something to look still forward says, to there.
Yeah. On the shelf until sometime in August, which makes sense for an injury like that.
We're going to have a stretch this year where both Ellie De La Cruz and O'Neill Cruz
hopefully
out there at this. You know what? I'm knocking on wood.
First.
I'm knocking on wood. Knocking on wood. Ellie does have to be called up first, which should happen at some point. I mean, the Reds aren't even that far out of a playoff spot. So
watch like, out for Cincinnati.
Yeah, I know. Like, there's. Isn't that crazy to think? Like, we're June 1st, and it's still early in the season, but June 1st, and the Reds are actually like in the playoff hunt somewhat.
So many teams are just so mediocre that everyone's like, it's the Rays, and like, who's even good in the NL? The Dodgers, I guess, and then just like everyone else is like bunched up together. Another young player, another young, exciting player we get an update on Tuesday is a Jazz Chisholm Jr. He's got to be reevaluated for his toe. He was initially given a timeline of 4 to 6 weeks. So she'll be back sometime in June, but we'll know probably more on Tuesday.
Now, for some streaming options. Let's see here. Super Stary. What's up, man? Welcome to the show. Good to see you. New to baseball. Cool sport. Baseball is the coolest sport. Especially when you really get to know it, like baseball becomes so much cooler. There's a reason why baseball fans absolutely love the sport. But streaming options, I figure maybe we highlight one that we like from Saturday, one that we like from Sunday, just to make it easy. Okay. And mine, first, just right out of the gate, Saturday, I'm going Kyle Bradish for the Baltimore Orioles. He is facing off against, dude, my game to have sucks. He is facing off against the San Francisco Giants and Anthony Desclafani, who I also like. I've mentioned him as a somewhat streaming option for ESPN leagues a few times. Bradish isn't blowing anybody out of the water. 2-1 with a 3.89 ERA, but he's really only had a couple hiccup starts against the Red Sox. There are two innings, gave up 7 runs back on April 25th. That kind of killed him. And then the 23rd against the Yankees, he gave up 4 in 5 innings. But outside of that, there's a whole lot of not giving up any runs. Doesn't strike the most batters out, but we talk about it all the time with streaming options. You're not looking to find, like, who's the pitcher that's going to score the most points on Saturday that I can find on the waiver wire. Like, who's going to be the number one overall pitcher? You're just looking for a solid guy that can go out there and get you a quality start with a handful of strikeouts and can perceivably get you a win. And I think Gibson gives you an excellent chance at all of those things.
Yeah, I do have one for Friday that just popped up. Edward Cabrera starting Friday against Oakland. So if you don't have him, if he's available, pick him up. Should get some strikeouts and hopefully a win for the Marlins there against Oakland. Then on Saturday, I just had one, or maybe Sunday, looking ahead. Brady Singer is at home against Colorado. He's been up and down, but against a Rockies team at home should be decent. And also Ben Lively has been great in 2 starts against the Cardinals and Red Sox. He'll be at home at Great American Ballpark against Milwaukee. So maybe not the greatest matchup at home, but I mean, he hasn't been a problem so far for him.
First, I'm not going to lie. Okay, so I said Gibson at the end of my last little picture. I'm talking about Kyle Bradish, not Gibson. Not Kyle Gibson. Yeah. Kyle Bradish. But so for Sunday, tell me if I'm crazy here. Does Ranger Suarez against the Nationals, doesn't that feel like it should be a good matchup?
It does feel like it should be a good matchup. He had a good last start, 6 2/3, 1 earned, 4 strikeouts. Yeah, that's a great find there. Yep.
I think that's who I'm going to go with. I mean, 0-2, 7.13 ERA doesn't look pretty on paper, pretty widely available in most fantasy leagues. But the Washington Nationals aren't great. And so if you want to go just purely based off of matchups, Ranger Suarez has got a shot there to be good. And then if you want to go beyond that, like if you're like, oh man, I'm not really feeling that, look somewhere else. Mike Soroka for the Braves. Yeah. He had a good first start. Don't let the 6 ERA fool you. He went like 5 innings without giving up any runs, and then he gave up 4 runs in the 6th. Shit happens. But for 5 innings, he looked great. Changeup looked great. And, I mean, the pitchers for Atlanta, who's going to give him plenty of run support. They are playing Arizona, which tougher matchup. And he's going against Zach Gallen. So it is going to be a very tough matchup, but I think it's going to end up being a low-scoring game. So even if he's unable to get a win, I think a quality start is still on the table for somebody like Mike Soroka. And a lot of people may have been turned away by the 4 runs that he gave up last game. So maybe this is your chance to sneak in there and get you some Mike Soroka love.
Yeah. It was good to see Soroka return to the mound there. And yeah, Arizona is, you know, they were pretty hot, but I don't know if they're really still that imposing of a matchup. Ranger Suarez, the Phillies should be pretty big favorites in that game. If you just are looking for a win.
Oh, what does this say? Super. How often do you guys stream? We stream 3 days a week. It is normally Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. This week it's Monday, Thursday, and I think we're going to try and sneak one in on Sunday. So I guess that'll be the start of next week. But I'm going to count it as this week.
We stream when we want to. Yeah.
Yeah. 3 times a week, though. We're here 3 times a week. If you hit that follow button, you'll get a nice little notification every time we go live. We got a lot of cool guests that come on here. We talk a lot of fun baseball stuff, just whatever's on our mind. And especially if you like fantasy baseball, we're down to, I mean, we give a lot of good insight into that as well. But yeah, so I think those are our streaming options for this weekend. I mean, if you follow those, pick your favorite couple and roll with them and see how they pan out. Me and Ryan have been behind the scenes keeping track of how our streaming options have been doing. And I will say, we got a pretty damn successful record when it comes to that. So We're not just saying this shit to say it. We really are about this fantasy baseball life. That was the stupidest thing I've ever said on this podcast. But we're just going to roll with it. But you guys, make sure you hit the follow button, whether it's on YouTube, it's on Twitter, it's on Twitch, wherever you're watching. Hit the follow button so you're always notified whenever we go live. Something that I heard on a podcast today, because I am a podcast junkie, I listen to a lot of different podcasts. Something that I heard them say on that podcast was hitting follow may not seem like much to you, but it's to helping us continue to grow. We're starting to chart all over the world, which is crazy to say, but we're worldwide now, baby. We're charting all over the place, and hitting that subscribe button, that follow button, downloads, all of that stuff goes a long way to helping us. So if you guys can do that wherever you are listening, greatly appreciate it. Make sure you follow our Twitter at Fake Baseball, the coolest at on Twitter. Hit us up on YouTube, Fake Baseball Money. Same on Twitch, Fake Baseball Money. I've been trying to do a better job at getting some content up on the YouTube, like shorts and things of that nature. We got clips from the show. I make random fun little videos as well when I'm bored that I throw up there.
And on Instagram too.
On Instagram. Yeah, there we go. So we're everywhere. And we got a Facebook too. Just search Fake Baseball Money. You'll find us. We are there. I mean, you got anything going on the rest of the week, Ryan?
No, just working. Stanley Cup final Saturday should be fun. Hopefully the Panthers win that, but we'll see.
I see. I'm a Golden Knights guy.
I'll be happy either way, but I'll be a lot happier if the Panthers win. Let's just say that.
That you're wild.
Yes.
I will be happy. Yeah. If the Panthers win. As for me, I have my weekly preview for Fantasy Pros coming out this evening. I have been a bit lazy, so I'm going to work on that once this is over with this recording. I'm going to highlight the teams and players for next week that I like and don't like. Weekly waiver wire article for Fantasy Pros coming out on Sunday. But outside of that, you guys can follow me on Twitter at Buhlocke, BUHHLOCKAYE.
And you can follow me on Twitter at RGilbertSLP.
And we'll catch you guys next time.
Peace.